Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
So we're looking at the parable of the talents, and this is a fairly long and... Hello, Rowan. Am I too quiet? I couldn't be louder.
No.
And it's a really, really complicated parable. So I was going through, and I could take almost any verse in the entire parable and do an entire sermon on that. So I was going to do a 3.5 hour or so sermon.
Yeah.
There's one problem with that. Boda's got a barbecue. Okay. So I'm afraid you're going to have to get the cut down and short version instead of the full 3.5 hour bit. So if you feel like I'm not going very deep on a point, blame that. Okay. Short version, right. Parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 talents gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his lord's money. After a long time, the lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought the 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more. His lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Forgot to change slide. Sorry, guys. He who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received it back on my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a heavy parable. There's a lot going on in here. Let me just quickly set some background to what's going on. This is a parable Jesus teaches in the week before his crucifixion. This may have been one of the last times Jesus spoke in public. And as we know from the other things he says, what was coming was weighing heavily on his mind at this time. The first verse of this, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling to a far country. This is Jesus teaching specifically on what's about to come. He knows he's about to leave, and he's trying to prepare those who are going to come after him. He called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Andy talked last week about how the servants of God and the servants of the kingdom are those who take the message of God and spread it. This is a parable that feels far less for the people at large, and very specifically for Jesus' own followers. This is one of Jesus' last instructions in some ways before his crucifixion. So anyone here who feels that they have been called by God, you are the servants in this story. This is aimed at you. So what goods What has God given us? The message of the kingdom is what I just said we're meant to be spread. Obviously, we've been given the message. But we've been given more than that. Jesus, when he before he left, said, "And I will send a helper to you. I will give you my spirit, who will be with you and prepare you." That is what the goods that have been delivered to us are. We have been given God's Holy Spirit. And we're meant to do work with that. The Holy Spirit is not some nice thing that hangs out in us and makes us feel good. The Holy Spirit is sent by God to motivate us, to direct us, and to help us in doing the work of the kingdom. Jesus has gone from us. He will return later. But while Jesus is gone, where is his kingdom? If the Queen leaves the country, goes to Germany or America, where's the kingdom? Is the kingdom wherever the Queen is, or is the kingdom where she rules? Where she rules. So when Jesus comes here, establishes the kingdom, and then goes away for a long time, where's the kingdom?
Still here.
Still here. We are in the kingdom. We are serving his kingdom still while he is away. And when Jesus comes back, each of us, the servants of the kingdom, will be called to account for how we have served while he is gone. And we've been given tools to serve him. We've been given the message of the kingdom to share to others. And we've been given the Spirit of God to help us do that. Let's look at the next verse. To one of his servants he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. So, this is talking about dividing talents. So, does that mean that everyone here has the same gift? Does the Spirit work in the same way? But Vic maybe has more Spirit than Mim. Is that how this works?
You're right with that.
That's not what this is. This is not... I have a huge stack of money and I'm going to give you some and I'm going to give you more and I'm going to give you less. That is not what this is. This is trying to simplify things down to make the point simply, but this is not what we live in. We do not live in, there are some who have lots of the Spirit and some who have less. We live in, there are some who have this in the Spirit and some who have that. If we worked in, there are some with lots of the Spirit and could do all the things of the Spirit, and some who have less, so can do all those things but worse. Only a few people would ever do anything in church. You'd have the people who are good, the people who are blessed by the Spirit in all things, and they'd do everything. And then everyone else would be like, well, I can do all of those things, but I do them worse, so there's no point me doing anything. And that's not the way the kingdom's set up. The kingdom is set up so that we've got Robin and Sonia and Dana who lead worship because they have the gift of leading worship. And we have Graham and Mim and me and Andy who preach because we've been given the gift of preaching. And we've got Vic and Stephen and Marion and Mary who serve because they've been given the gift of serving and of loving and of sharing and of generosity. And there's so many gifts, and I'm going to start reading you some of them in a moment. But you need to understand that when it says each according to their own ability, that's the important bit. It's not the some got more and some got less. It's some got this and some got that. Each according to their own ability. Right. Let's go through some of the lists that Paul writes about gifts of the Spirit. Corinthians 12. There are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by that same Spirit, to another gifts of healings, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. God has appointed these in the church: apostles, prophets, teachers. Miracles, healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all prophets? Are all apostles? Is everyone here a teacher? Are you all miracle workers? Do you all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desired the most helpful gifts. Romans 12 is another list. For we have many members in one body, but the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches, let him teach. He who encourages, in encouragement. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. These things, somehow, are all from the Spirit. Some are strong in one area, some are strong in another. And it is the work of the church to be united in this, to support those who are weak, to encourage those who are strong, to work together so that we are more than the sum of our parts. Ephesians 4, and he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. I wanted to read all three of those different ones because Paul really is trying to hammer the same point, that there are so many different gifts that God can have given you, and it just because what you're doing doesn't mean you're up at the front of the church every week does not mean that you are less than someone who is. If your ministry, if your gift is to care for those in need, that doesn't need you to be up at the front, that needs you to be outside helping those in need. If your gift is giving, that doesn't need you to be up at the front looking impressive, that needs you to give. If your gift is teaching, then yes, you should probably be up at the front teaching, but that's because that's what your gift is. If your gift is worship, and you're sitting in the congregation instead of leading worship, stop wasting your gift. You have a gift, you need to be using it. There's an old saying, if everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid. Because what you rate yourself by is what you end up validating yourself by. If you place your identity in the gift that God has given you, then that becomes what you judge yourself by. If you judge yourself by what the gifts God has given to other people, you're never going to match that. If I went, man, Vic's got such a caring heart, why can't I care that much? Why am I not devoting myself to serving my community in the same way that Vic is? Because I'm not Vic. I'm me. I have to do what God has put on my heart to do. I might go, man, Sonia's so good at singing. Why can't I lead worship like that? Because I'm not Sonia. I'm me. I have to do what God has given me to do. Each of us has been given a gift by God when we enter into his kingdom. When we declare that we are a servant of God through profession of faith, we receive God, and through God we get given tools to serve God. I heard a talk who said that we view gifts of the Spirit wrong and we're using the wrong word. We shouldn't call them gifts, because in our culture a gift is a pretty thing that you put on the wall and make everyone go, oh, that's nice. Whereas in Middle Eastern culture, a gift is something you use. It's a tool. It's something to help you. A gift of the Spirit is not something to stick on the mantelpiece so that everyone goes, wow, that's nice. A gift of the Spirit is something that you use in your daily life to make the kingdom better. The gifts of the Spirit are to serve the kingdom that the Spirit is from. Let me tell you about a kid I once met. Yes, it's another. Tim tells a story of when he used to do kids' work. So, this was at New Wine in one of the kids' work groups, and I had a kid who for 2 days I could not deal with. Just whatever that was meant to be going on, he wanted to do something else. Worship time? No, he wanted to be sitting down drawing. Drawing time? No, he wanted to be chatting. Talking and prayer time? No, he wanted to be running around. Running around time? He wanted to not be running around. For 2 days, I struggled trying to get this kid to just do something that wasn't interrupting what everyone else was doing. And eventually I gave up and went to one of the leadership and said, look, he's not a bad kid, he just can't engage and he's distracting the entire group. Can you take him and talk to him and just... can't handle having him in my group. So one of the leaders came and took him, and I didn't see him again for the rest of that day. And it was so nice. It was so nice. Everything went so much better once he was out of the group. And then the next day, I'm looking around and I see him, and he comes in and he just stands at the back and talks to them. I'm like, good, don't have to deal with him today either. Focus on the rest of the group. Everyone else was lovely. And then halfway through the morning, he comes up and just sits and starts talking to one of the guys in the group. And I'm about to call him out on it when I see that the leader he's been talking to is standing nearby. So I go and talk to her to find out what's going on. He's like, oh, so we're talking and finding out what he liked. And all he wants to do is pray. All he cares about is praying. So we sat down and talked about it, and we agreed that he would have a little badge that says, I'm praying, and he could just go wherever he wanted and pray for whoever he wanted, and that's all he's going to do this week. And then a couple of the other troublesome kids who were also at the back saw it and were like, that's really cool, I want to do that. So by the end of the week, there were four of these kids running around the room, going wherever they wanted under the supervision of leadership, just praying for anyone they felt needed praying for. That's what this looks like. That's what having a gift and living in it looks like. Going, yes, there are other things going on, but I don't want to have anything to do with that because that's not where my heart is. Some of you might be thinking, I don't know what my gift is, or I know what my gift is, but I really don't like it. To the first ones, ask the people around you. Ask the people who know you. If you're not sure what your gift is, I guarantee that your friends do. The people who know you will know your heart, will know what you care about, will know what you're good at. If you don't know what your gift is, ask those around you. To the people who are like, but I don't like my gift, too bad, suck it up. One of my mum's on-running complaints is that one of her great giftings is to be an evangelist, and she hates it. She never wanted to be an evangelist. That was not what she thought she'd be doing. But God was like, yeah, well, too bad. So she does it, and she does it faithfully. And you know what? When you faithfully use the gift you've got, whatever it is, God gives you more gifts. The passage says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Now I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what this passage is talking about. If you've got a gift and you use it, and you show God that you can use that gift well, God will go, you have been faithful with that, I will give you more. And Chrissy's testimony is such an example of that. She was faithful, she had integrity. And what does God do? You, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful in a small thing, now I will make you ruler over many. She's now in charge of an entire North region's care hospices. What is that if not this passage in action?
Sorry, we'll just interrupt for a bit here. We'll just have some ministry.
Well, you can pray over that, whatever's going on over there. Whatever blessing has been given to us, when we show we are faithful, God rewards it with more blessing. I want to make a point here. This is separate from saying God will give you more money. That is not what I'm saying. God will give you more to serve him.
Nice words, yeah.
This isn't if you do well, God will reward you. This is if you do well, God will give you the tools to do more for him. So what did the last servant do wrong here? Because it's clear that the first two is very clear what happened. They went out, they used what they'd been given, what they had been given grew, they came back to God and were like, God, look what has happened with what you gave me. And God's like, good job, now do more. The last servant said this: Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. That sounds really weird. That doesn't sound like God. Except I taught on this the last time I preached. I said, it is on us, the servants, to go out and sow the seeds of the kingdom. And then we will trust on God to bring growth. This man complaining that, but I didn't want to because I knew you'd just take it. That, yes, God gave you the thing in the first place. You don't get to go, well, you gave it to me, so it's mine now. That's not the relationship here. It's God has given you this thing for the sake of his own glory. So if you're not using what he's given you for his glory, of course he's going to go, well, what have you done, you failure? Because you're not using what God has given you for the purpose God has given you it for. If you I've commented on earlier, if you have the ability to sing and you think you could lead worship, but you're just sitting in the congregation going, well, I could, but That's what this last servant's done. He's just dug a hole, stuck what God's given him in the ground, and pretended it's not there until God came back and was like, so about that gift I gave you? He's like, oh, right. Well, there were other people who could do it better, and you didn't give me very much, so it's not like I can... That's not what God's after. That's not what God's looking for. That's not what God wants. What God wants is you to show that what God gives you, you will use. If you feel like you've only got a little bit, well, use that little bit, and use it faithfully. And if you got, when you use a little bit faithfully, God will go, good, you use that faithfully, now I will give you more. And then when you've got more, you use that faithfully, and God goes, good job, now I will give you more still. And so you grow and grow and grow. Faithful service requires us to use what God has given us. Faithful service requires us to use what God has given us for his glory, for his service, for his kingdom. If we take the gifts God has given us and use them for ourselves, then we've become the very thing that Jesus spoke out again time and time again. But if we look at the parable, God's bar of success is so low. God's bar of success for this last servant was, you could have at least gone to and stuck it in the bank. That's not a very high bar for being accepted, is it? Here, have a pile of money. Try and make it turn into more money. It's not a very big step to go, I'll stick it in the bank until you get back. The last servant was condemned not because he didn't do as much as the others, but because he didn't do anything at all. Whatever, as long as you use the gifts God has given you for anything for God's glory, God will go, you good and faithful servant, you have been faithful with a small thing, now I will make you ruler over of many, come enter into the joy of your Lord. And the bar for that acceptance is, take what God has given you and put it in the bank instead of in a hole in the ground. This is such a low bar. And it's entirely reasonable for God to expect that minimum from us. Because all of this comes from God. None of this, what I'm talking about, is from us. If it was from us, then yes, it would be fair to go, well, I did the work on this, so I should claim it. But everything that we do comes from God in the first place. Whatever we have, that is from God. So it is entirely fair for God to go, I have invested in you from the beginning. Show me you have used that well. Jesus has entrusted us with growing his kingdom. The first verse says, a rich man has gone away for a long time and delivered his goods to his servants, the servants being us. Jesus isn't here. The Holy Spirit is with us to guide us, but Jesus isn't here right now looking after his kingdom. It's on us to look after his kingdom. And like any good kingdom, what the kingdom wants is to be bigger. And it's on us to grow the kingdom. And Jesus knows that that's not easy, and we can't do that by ourselves. So it's like, here, have this helper. It will do it all for you if you let it. And gives us the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit shows up in our lives and is like, stop doing that, that's not helping. Do this, because that is what you're made for. And all we have to do is go, okay, let me do what I'm made for. We're expected to make use of what God has given us. If you're not sure, ask your friends, ask God. They will know what you are. They will know what you are made for by God. And then live in it. Do it. And as you do it, you will find that you grow in that and that you do more. Because God gives you more when you show you are faithful with what He has given you. And if you think that being able to grow and receive more and become more and be rewarded for faithful service sounds good, but you don't think that's you, enter into the kingdom. Anyone who enters into the kingdom of God receives this. Anyone who doesn't believe and then enters into God's kingdom will find their lives changed and they will grow. They will have life. They will be good and faithful servants for at such a low bar of success. It's so far below anything the world will consider good job, but God will go, yes, good job. It takes so little to please God. He's so good. Come into His kingdom. Come into His family. And serve Him.